the first chapter. We started out last Wednesday night with the first chapter, the first four verses. And so tonight, I'm not even there. I got to get over there myself. Tonight, we're going to take off from verse 5 through 10, the Lord willing, and talk a little bit more there in 1 John. And we'll be doing this the next few weeks as time allows, and we'll go through the entire book of 1 John, then possibly move to another chapter, maybe some more of John, maybe 2nd or 3rd John, and then Jude and different work. We're going to go through them a little bit, verse by verse. That's called expository preaching. Most of the time I do topical preaching, which is try to figure out what something you might need, some topic, you know, and preach that. But we'll get more out of the Word of God probably through expository preaching than you will out of topical preaching, because eventually you'll cover almost everything. And oftentimes what you get on one thing here, it'll take you off in another direction as under the leading of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And so anyway, we're going to go this verse by verse tonight and see if we can't break it down in a way that would benefit you. Next Sunday morning, again, we'll finish up 10 signs of the nearness of the tribulation, that the tribulation is near. We'll finish that up next Sunday, the Lord willing. And anyway, let's go. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, tonight, once again, Lord, we are breaking the word, the bread of life. We ask, God, that you'd open the eyes of our heart, and Lord, reveal to us ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. First scripture here tonight is, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Now, we went through this the other night, how John had a witness of Jesus Christ, how he was there. He said, my eyes have seen, I've looked on him, my hands have handled him, the word of life. He says, I know what I'm talking about. He was bringing credibility to his message here. I know of whom I speak, and I know what I'm saying is true. So he says, this is the message we heard from him and declare to you. He said, I heard it from Jesus. I'm not making this up. I'm not forming my own opinion. I'm sharing with you what I heard Jesus tell me. And that's the gospel in a nutshell, if you would. Jesus is life. And he is hope, and he is peace. But basically, this is it. Jesus is the message. And John has touched him, seen him, felt him, knows all about him, and he speaks under the authority, writes this letter under the authority of God, through the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, I know what I'm talking. I declare to you that God is light. He says, I don't preach a message that came from man. I preach a message that came from God. And look at Galatians, the first chapter and the 12th verse. And he says, this message is not from me. It is from God. I ain't making it up. I'm telling you exactly what I know. He says this, that Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. He says, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation
of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John knew as much about God and about Jesus as the Apostle Paul did. And Paul was very learned in the Word. He knew the Word from front to back and back to front. He knew every jot and every tittle of the Word of God, but he had not touched Jesus. He had not walked with Jesus. He had not handled Jesus. But John says, I walked with him. I ate supper with him. I slept next to him. I traveled with him. I saw the miracles firsthand. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you today, you need to listen to what God has to say to you through the Apostle John. John knows what he's talking about. Amen. And he said, I didn't learn it from man. I learned it from God. And then he goes on to say, God is light. Light and darkness are very familiar to all of us. We know what light is and we know what darkness is. It's probably one of the first things we learn in life. Hot and cold and light and dark and fear and, you know, we learn things in life. And that was one of those things we learn. We know when the light's on, it's light. That's called light. When the sun's up, that's called light, daylight. When the sun's down, it's called nighttime. It's dark. It's darkness. If we didn't have the night lights at our home, it'd be really dark on a moonless night. It'd really be dark where I live. But it's not because I have night lights, because that drives away the darkness. And it helps me see what's out around my house. If I'm awakened in the middle of the night, I can step to any of my windows, and I can look out. I can see 100 feet or more, or outside my house. It's not light, but I can see quite a ways out there. Now, something can get out in the shadows, and I won't see it. But when it's in the light, I see it. There's some boys come to our house one time. They was going to play a prank on us. I think it was when Melissa was still in school, and they was going to play a prank on us. So they parked down on Bethel Road, and they came up through the pasture, and they didn't realize we had a dog that's a pretty good watchdog. And they got out there just at the edge of the light, but they wasn't far. They was actually at the edge of my chain link fence in my backyard right under the light. And they got down on the ground. I was like, you idiots. I said, I can see you, boys. And you know what they did? I can see you. They crawled. Slunk her down, tried to get away. I said, boys, I see you. And you're lucky I don't have my gun. Cause I would shoot you. I think I did have my shotgun in my hand because the dog was tearing up Jack and just like, you know, and so they ran, they jumped the fence. I thought, well, they'll be back. They're not done yet. And sure enough, about 30 minutes later, here they come, this time up the road. Well, they didn't know my neighbor had a great Pyrenees dog. And he is a very good watchdog. So they come up the road, this time slinking up through there, and they're coming to the light. There's lights across the road. There's lights right. They're not going to get away with it. They're exposed. Sin is exposed. But they come up the road. Next thing I know, I hear them yelling, hollering, and running down the road. Because the dog who was guarding the sheep was going to protect the sheep. It didn't matter whether it was a coyote or not. There's somebody coming up the road that didn't belong. So the dog got after them. They never did come back. But you see, darkness drives away. Light drives away the darkness. In Scripture, light and darkness are familiar symbols. Intellectually, light refers to the biblical, to biblical truth, while darkness refers to error or falsehood. And so when we hear about light, we know it's biblical truth. We hear about darkness, we know it refers to error or falsehood or sin in somebody's life. We know it's darkness. And so John says this, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is pure. God is holy. And there is no sin in God at all. God, if God sinned, it make it holy. If God went against his word and decided that fornication was okay, then it would no longer be a sin because God would make it holy. Do you understand why? He's not going to do that, though. Don't get me wrong, but you understand what I'm saying? God set the rules. God made all the rules. And God abides by the rules. And he is light. And we got to come out of the darkness, ladies and gentlemen. We need to come out of the darkness. And so we see here
that there's no darkness in him whatsoever. And so light refers to biblical truth, and darkness refers to error or falsehood. Look at Psalm 119:105. And it says this, and you know this scripture better than I do probably. The word, thy word, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's the word of God. The psalmist wrote, God's your word. He didn't have the word like we've got the word. I'm telling you folks, we're privileged people. We don't just have the Old Testament, and they didn't even have most of the Old Testament. What they had was the writings of Moses and those four books of the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus and Deuteronomy. They didn't have none of the other. That's what they studied from. That's what they abided by. That was the rules for living. Everything that was written in those four books by Moses. And so we have all these other books. We have Numbers and First and Second. We have Judges, and we just got all these. I can't name them all right now. I don't have time to think about it and get it straight. But we have all these different books of the Bible. Then we have the entire New Testament that we can go by. Rules, regulations, and you say, "Well, I don't like rules and regulations." I'll tell you what: these rules and regulations, if you follow them, bring joy and they bring peace. They'll bring satisfaction into your life. They'll bring the presence of God into your life. They'll bring the Holy Ghost into your life. It'll cause your feet to dance and your heart to rejoice if you get these rules, the Word of God, hid in your heart. You won't sin against God. You'll serve God, and there'll not be darkness in your life. And John said here, there's a light, and Psalmist said, your Word is a light unto my path. I can't even get it straight right now, but you know what I said in Psalms 119. And so there we go. It's there. And in Proverbs 6:23, let's look at that right quick. Look it on the, put it on the wall, dude. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. We need the light of God shining in our lives. And it is through the Word of God. You can't get everything you need from God by listening to Christian music. You won't get it by going to a gospel concert. You won't get it by going to, you need the Word of God. It is a light unto your path. His Word lights up your path, and it brings you into biblical truth. Amen. Nothing wrong with singing. I like good singing. We had good singing tonight, and we worship the Lord. It gets us prepared. Actually, what the worship should do is bring glory to God, number one. And then it also ought to prepare our hearts like taking a plow and getting that soil ready for the Word to be planted. And then the Word of God will illuminate your life. It'll show you where you are with God if you'll just let it. So we see that. And in John 1, verse 4, and you know that scripture very well, don't you? John chapter 1, verse 4 says, And him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 5 says, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not overcome it or comprehend. It did not overcome it. The light, the darkness can't overcome the truth of God's Word. It'll always drive it out. It'll always illuminate. Verse 8 says this concerning that. It says, he was not the light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of the light, Jesus Christ. Jesus is still the light of the world. In verse 12, it says this, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Come on now. You have that right tonight, and his light shines in your life. Amen. It shines in your life. John, when he says there's no darkness at all, you see the heretics in his word, in his world, the ones that he was refuting here. You know, see, morally, light refers to holiness and purity, while darkness refers to sin or wrongdoing. But the heretics claim to be truly enlightened in the word, and truly enlightened were claimed to be walking in the real light. But John denied that because they did not recognize their sin. Somebody says they're living for God and they're walking in the light, and they're still in sin. They are not walking in the light. They are still in darkness. To walk in the light, you must first recognize your sin and your sinfulness and repent of it. And so he had heretics that were not doing it. Look at Romans 13, verse 11. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 goes like this. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, not messing around, but in revelry, that word, and drunkenness. Not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision to the flesh to fulfill the lust, to fulfill its lust, or the lust thereof, probably in that particular version there. So you see, we are to walk in the light and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to cast off the works of darkness. When you become a Christian, you strive, you work at casting off the works of darkness. It'll try to come back on you. Darkness will try to come back into your life. Sin will try to creep back in. But you work at keeping it off. The Bible says cast it off and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in the practical righteousness that God's Word provides you. Just get in the Word. Let the Word of God cleanse you. Let it reveal to you where you stand with God. See, too many people, too often, aren't reading the Word of God. They come to church every now and then, maybe every time the doors are open, but they never crack open the Word of God. They never read it for themselves. You need to check out what I preach. You need to make sure I'm not preaching something false. You really do. Go to the Word. Find it out. See what I'm doing. But you see, darkness, there's no darkness in us who have been enlightened by the Word of God, who've been born again. It drove out the darkness. I don't sin no more. I don't practice sin. I want to rephrase that. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we do not practice sin any longer. Our lights have been illuminated. Our lives have been made open. And we don't practice sin any longer. We don't go out and do it on purpose. Now, I'm going to go back to that one scripture, and I think I don't even know where it's at right now. I think I know, but I'm not sure. The main problem with men is not the devil. The main problem with the church is not the devil. The main problem with us is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's our biggest problem right there. It's not the devil. It's not somebody out there. It's ourselves and our battles within ourselves to stay right with God, because our flesh tries to rear up. That's our biggest battle. It's within us. So John says there's light. There's no darkness at all in God. They claim that there was, but he said if you don't have the light, the real light, and you don't recognize your sin, you are not enlightened, and you're still in darkness. He goes on to say in verse 5, he's still reading verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If you're in him, you're not in darkness no more. God is absolutely perfect, and nothing exists in God's character that impinges upon his truth and his holiness. Look at James 1:17. Look at James 1:17 with me, if you would. It goes like this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his
creatures. You see, an ancient Jewish expression for God as the creator was the father of lights, or lights, referring to the sun, the moon, and the stars. And from man's perspective, the celestial bodies have different phases of movement and rotation and change from day to night and vary in intensity and shadow. But God does not follow that pattern. The moon, every now and then, the earth gets in the way of it, and we have an eclipse. Every now and then, the sun is an eclipse of the sun. Every now and then, we can't see the stars. And every now and then, there's a cloudy night, and we don't see the moon. But God always shines forth in the darkness and drives it away. There's no variableness in God.
You can depend on Him. Amen. And amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Verse 6. It says this: if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In spite of their claims, these great spiritual people in the church that John was dealing with, in spite of their great spiritual claims and their claims to enlightenment, and although the false teachers may have claimed fellowship with God or with Christ, their walking in darkness refuted such claims. Folks, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're still walking in darkness after you say you've accepted Christ, that you are refuting your claims of knowing Jesus, because it says if we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. If we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we are liars and do not practice truth. Not only are you lying about it, you're not practicing righteousness. You're practicing unrighteousness. You're not living according to God's standard. You're living according to your standard. That's what he's saying. You're living according to your standard. And your standard will never, ever measure up to God's standard. And I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll either make it too low, put the bar too low, or you'll put the bar too high. You won't find that balance that God has, where His love and His mercy can come in and cleanse you and wash you. And you can take that verse 9 and walk in it, where if we confess our sins, you'll get to this place. You'll be so judgmental over people, you'll set the bar too high, or you'll be not judgmental enough. You won't judge sin the way it ought to be, and you'll set it too low and let anything happen. Anything go. Or you'll make it so strict and so restrictive that people can't serve God. God has a balance. He has a balance. And they say if you're walking in darkness, and if your life's not living up to the saying that you're in the light, you're still in darkness and you're a liar. Now that's tough stuff, isn't it? People don't like to hear that. They want to hear you're good, I'm good, you're okay, I'm okay, we're going to heaven. That's what they want to hear. You don't have to do anything, just confess Jesus Christ and you're all right. It's not that way in the Word of God, but Jesus said, I come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. But He also said, straight is the way and narrow is the gate. But wide is the way and broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Now, I may have got them two figures backwards, but you understand what I'm saying. There's a big road, wide road and a big old gate that heads to hell. And it ain't closed. You don't have to climb over it. It's open. Why don't I think of that stuff? There ain't no toll booths on the way to hell. But he said there's a lot of people find that way and few find the other one. That's what he said. It's what Jesus said. That's what he said. Now, let's move on. There's no darkness at all. And so, verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, a genuine Christian walks habitually in the light, in other words, truth and holiness. You walk habitually in truth and holiness, not in darkness, which is falsehood and sin. You can have this habit, and it's okay. You walk habitually as a Christian. You make up your mind you're going to serve God. It becomes a part of your spiritual DNA. It's hard to get you not to walk spiritually. It's hard to get you not to walk in the light. It's hard to get you to not walk in truth and holiness. You just, that's on your mind all the time. You want to please God. You want to line up to the Word of God. It's not a drudgery to you. It's not hard for you. It's not something you dread. It's something you look forward to. Pleasing God and lining up with the Word of God so that you might please God and one day go be with Him. It's just what you do. But if you don't do that, you see, and when you do that, your walk results in cleansing. It results in cleansing from sin, as the Lord will continually forgive you because you are His own. And you walk in the light, so you share the same character of God, the characters of God, truth and holiness and righteousness and peace. And joy. You walk in those things. And so when the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God, and when you fight the battle, the fight of faith, then you walk in the peace of God and the joy of God, the truth of God, the light of God, and it helps you be able to be an overcomer rather than fall into sin because you practice living for Him daily. So when the battle gets tough or a temptation comes or a trial hits you, you don't think, your first thought is not to give up. Your first thought is to run to Him. Your second thought is not to give up. Your second thought is to get on your face in prayer. Your third thought's not to give up. Your third thought is to say, well, I'm living by faith. I'm calling those things that are not as though they were. I don't see it right now, but I know my Redeemer lives. So because we're walking in light, so although we're being bombarded and we're being buffeted, our habit is to walk in the truth and holiness. In other words, the light of God. Isn't that wonderful? Because we share habitually in His holiness. And we have true fellowship with Him. Look at James chapter 1 verse 27. Oh my, where's that at? Somebody read it for me. I lost it. Let's read it off the wall. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless, the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's highlight that last part. Keep himself unspotted from the world. You keep yourself unspotted from the world. Do you understand? You work at it. You understand it. You desire it. A genuine Christian does not walk in darkness, but only in the light. You don't go from darkness to light and light to darkness, from sin to righteousness, from righteousness back into unrighteousness. You walk in the light as He is the light. You don't have variableness of turning neither, no shadow of turning neither. Because you're walking in the light. And the Word of God is a lamp unto your path. You understand where I'm going? Where we're heading here in this scripture? This is just simply the Word of God, just five simple verses out of 1 John. It'll build you up more than probably any happy God gonna fix it sermon that you can get. Because this is going to fix it. This will fix it. If you'll do this, it'll fix it. He'll make you better. He'll make you better than new. Better than new if you'll follow the Word of God. So, a genuine Christian, look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. Yeah, I'm getting close to finishing. Just not there yet. Do not be, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We don't like those type scriptures, do we? Because that speaks to holiness. That speaks to separation. That speaks to casting down our desires. That speaks to putting aside our lust of the flesh and our pride of life and the lust of our eyes and saying, I'm going to line up to God's word. I'm not making an unholy alliance. I'm not going to give place to the devil. You know why a lot of Christian marriages fail? When Christian people decide they're going to marry a non-Christian, they're setting themselves up for failure a lot of the times because they've made an alliance that God can't bless. Because he says even right there, there's other things. You've got to be careful about who your business partner's with. Be careful who you go run with. Jesus was in the world, but not of it. He sat down with the publicans and the sinners, but he didn't partake of their sin. I go down about once a week, and I sit with a group of old fellers. Most of them are older than me. And I do that because I come into a quick stop, and they're all sitting there, and they know I'm pastor up here. And I feel like I need to sit down at least once a week and just chat with them. Cut up with them, laugh with them, hear what they're saying. They're all, none of them are carrying on, cussing, tearing dirt, telling dirty jokes, at least not what I'm there. But I sit down with them for a few minutes and try to mix with them guys to let them know that there are people who are down to earth, honest to God Christians. I'm just like you guys. I know Christ. And a lot of them I found out are Methodists. Some of them are Church of Christ. Some of them, one old gentleman, I love him to death. His name's Charlie. And Charlie don't want nothing to do with no preachers. But I'll sit down across from Charlie every chance I get. I've known him for a long time. And I'll sit down across from Charlie and he starts in on me and I just laugh and say, Charlie, you're a funny guy, but you need the Lord. Well, why don't you come to church? Oh, I ain't going to go there. Well, come up here. Oh, I ain't going there either. And one of them told him the other day, I think it was his Methodist, from Charlie, one of these days you'll go. They'll push you in a box, and you'll go to church. That's what one of them told him. You'll go one of these days, Charlie, but they'll push you in a box, and it'll be too late for you. Nobody cuts him any slack. But you know what? Charlie's going to stand and give an account for himself one day. And we need to be light to the dark world. Amen. And here we are. We cannot be a part in a sense of becoming soulmates with them, but we got to get in the world. You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Amen. Now let's go. Next verse, I think. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, y'all give me just a few more minutes. That clock is right tonight, so I liked it better when it was wrong. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, some of you say, well, I never sin. I'm going to tell you, and this is written to Christians. I don't sin. The Bible says you're a liar. You do sin once in a while. You do make a mistake every now and then that's sin against God. You may not do it intentionally. You may not want to. And more likely than not, you didn't want to. But you did something that was displeasing to God that in God's eyes was sin. Did he wipe your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life? I don't believe he did. He's seen it as inadvertently. It wasn't on purpose. But he's waiting on you to cry out, Father, forgive me. I recognize my sinfulness. And let me look at a scripture that kind of proves that to you just a little bit. You see, we walk in the light, but the false teachers walked in darkness or sin, but they went so far as to deny the total existence of a sin nature in their lives. If you never admit that you're a sinner, you can't receive salvation. You have to admit that there's something in your life that needs saved, you need to repent of. I don't think most of us consciously sin. But we have to, we can't deny the existence of the sin nature, which makes it possible for us to sin. And I'm not saying all of you sin every day. I wouldn't say that. I'm not saying, some of you probably go weeks or months without sinning. You may never sin, but there's a possibility. The sin nature is in you, and you have that possibility. Don't deny it. Let's look at Matthew 19, verse 16. And I'm just about finished. I can see, I can feel the atmosphere cheering up. Matthew 19. There was a rich young ruler come to Jesus. Verse 16. He came and said, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, this is Jesus, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And he said it with glee. So, well, I don't know that he did that. Yes, he did. And I'll tell you why. You'll see that in just a minute. He said, "Which ones?" I got this. In his heart, in his mind, he said, "I got this." Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father, your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "Jesus, all these things I have kept from my youth. I have never wavered in these. I've got it. But what do I still lack?" And he said that, I believe, with arrogance and pride. "Jesus, I've done all these things you say I need, and what I lack can't be anything, can it? I'm there. I'm perfect. I line up. I have life." And Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have. Give it to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. Come follow me." But the young man went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had great possessions. You see, he didn't deal with his arrogance. He hadn't dealt with his pride. He had spiritual arrogance. "I'm all right. I have all this taken care of. I'm where I need to be. What do I lack, Jesus? I've done everything you're supposed to. You lack one thing, the love of money. You love money more than you love me. Sell all you got, give it to the poor, come follow me. Then you'll have what you need to inherit eternal life." He went away sorrowful. He could not give up what he had loved for so long. Come on now, he couldn't do that. He refused to recognize his sin. He wouldn't recognize that he was a sinner. He wouldn't recognize that it went further than just obeying those commandments. He wouldn't recognize that he loved money more than he loved God. So he lost out because he wouldn't recognize his sin. So anyone that is characterized by deceit regarding their sinfulness cannot be forgiven. What do you mean they can't be forgiven? They can't be forgiven because they will not recognize their sinfulness, and therefore they won't ask for forgiveness. And until they recognize their sinfulness and ask for forgiveness, they cannot be forgiven. Do you understand? They're walking in pride. "I don't need anything. I don't need God. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I go to church 3 times a week. I pay my tithe. I give in offerings. I help the poor. I brought some socks. I'm going to dress up for the Halloween gill. I do all I'm supposed to do." But you need to recognize your sinfulness. It's not good enough to bring lotion for the nursing home or ankle socks. That's works. You can't buy yourself in by works. You must be born again. And to be born again, you must recognize your sinfulness. And to be right with God and walk in the light, you have to recognize that nature of sin that dwells in all of us, that flesh nature. And ask God to forgive you. And walk in the light. Amen? And so, continual, last verse, and then I'll close. Say, praise the Lord. Folks, you're not going to hurt. I wanted you to say, praise the Lord. Not because I was quitting, just to praise the Lord. Okay, so you thought I was saying, praise the Lord. And no, I was not a trick question. Well, actually it was, but I changed in the middle of the stream. I confess my sins, so I'm walking in the light. We need to praise the Lord, don't we? You see, continual confession. So, Pastor, I've been saved. I've asked God to forgive me. Yeah, but what if there's some secret thing, or not necessarily a secret, but something you didn't recognize as sin that you continually do that displeases God? You may not really recognize it, but other people might, but they just don't want to offend you or hurt your feelings to tell you that that is sin because they, but anyway, there's something that, so we have to confess sin as an indication of genuine salvation. So preacher, what do you mean? I mean this, when I go to prayer, one of the first things I do, as well as worship the Lord and tell Him how much I love Him, Lord, if I committed any sin, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And Lord, if it's a major sin, illuminate that to my heart, my eyes, so I'll know what it is, so that I'll stop doing it. Do you understand? I want God to forgive me. So I walk in a continual attitude of confession. Lord, you know, I need You. I need to walk holy. I need to be pure. I want to be right with You. I want to walk in light, not darkness. I don't want to be deceived. And so I have a continual confession of sin. And what these false teachers would not do, they would not recognize their sin. And the genuine Christian will admit their sin and forsake their sin. And so the term confess means to say the same thing about sin as God does. To acknowledge His perspective on sin. You see, today in the church and around the world, people will not acknowledge God's perspective on sin. Instead, they are justifying different types of sin, especially in the moral realm of our world, and they're calling right wrong and wrong right, another sign that Jesus is quick to come in the last days. We're in them. So we have to understand if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then verse 10 says, if we say we have no sin, we make Him a liar. Now what are you going to do with that? When you think you've got it made and you think you're where you ought to be and you don't want to confess any sin. Don't want to confess that you might possibly have gotten wrong. When God says, if you won't do that, you're calling God a liar. Let's just boil this down. We are not perfect, but God is. We can't be perfect, but God is. But we are seen as perfect in the eyes of God because of the appropriated blood of Jesus through our confession of sin. He sees us as righteous. He calls us holy because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and we appropriate it daily. We confess our sin daily. We stay right with God. It's important that we do that. Amen? It's important. I don't want God looking at me one day and say, you know what, you never would confess your sin and says you call Him a liar and His word's not in you. My word was never in you, Stone. You preached a lot of sermons, but my word wasn't in you. You act like you had it made. You never did. You weren't. I don't want Him to say that to me. One of the apostles says, I don't want to preach all this stuff to you and find myself a castaway. I don't want to lose out and preach the word and lose out. So I guarantee you, folks, whether you believe what I said tonight or not, I'm going to take what God's word says and I'm going to confess my sin. And I'm going to ask Him to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm going to ask Him to keep my... I know He don't wipe our names out of the Lamb Book of Life every time we do something bad. I understand that. You know, it just don't happen. But I want to stay right with God. And I know you do too. I know you do too. Well, stand with me. I'm through.